Afghanistan evacuations. President Joe Biden.
The games are wrapping up and
nation.
The scores are rolling in. This is your
reaction.
Source for all of
what
Central Ohio's high school football scores and live interviews with the winning
Taliban
coaches and players. It's the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roofing.
Return to Washington. And coronavirus crisis.
Well, it seems
people
kind of hard to believe,
Canada
but
and
the
Mexico borders react to restrictions. On EWTN News Nightly for Friday, August 20th, 2020.
Well, it seems kind of hard to believe, but the high school football season is back, and so are we on the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roof. I am Ryan Baker, and back joining me for a seventh season, the guru, Lee Cochran. Man, it's good to see you, buddy.
It is great to be here, but why is it hard to believe it's football season? I've been waiting on this, I don't know, for about 3 months. I've been fired up. I don't find it's hard to be here. I think it's about time it's here.
Well, I agree. I guess maybe it's a little different because we're starting a week earlier this year with the expanded playoffs going to 16 teams in each region with the OHSAA. We're starting a week earlier, so the regular season maybe got here a little bit sooner.
Well, we can say sooner, but it's not hard to believe it's here. But I get what you're saying. And, you know, the season has, you know, started this early a couple times, but schedules were made and they just had to pull everything back a week. So made it interesting. But you know what? That's good news because it means the season got here a week sooner than I expected.
And of course, Lee, we'd be remiss here if we didn't mention joining us again on the Scoreboard Show for a second season in a row is our coach, Larry Wolf. Larry, good to see you too.
It's good to be back. And let's just call this season normal. How about we just have one normal season in a row?
Well, I'm with you on that, but unfortunately, as we found out this week, it seems like we were going to have a normal season, and now the teams were had normal off seasons again, normal practices again. But as we found out, it may not be normal as teams may be scrambling for games. Watterson and Whetstone were supposed to play tonight, the first time those two Clintonville neighboring schools were going to play since 1996. And unfortunately, that got canceled on Wednesday, right, Lee?
Mm-hmm.
It was Wednesday,
yes,
where Whetstone had a COVID case, and that sent Watterson looking for a game for tonight.
Well, and you got to think that Marysville also had their game canceled. I never heard why Collinwood canceled, but that was late,
2 weeks ago.
That was
right?
Late last week,
yeah.
Or midweek last week. And Grove City Christian had its game canceled tonight. So, yeah, they're going to pop up, I guess. It's a good precaution. But, hey, I talk to people at work. I am a cup is half full kind of guy. I don't want to talk about the games we're not playing. I want to talk about the games that are playing.
And just while we're on that, you mentioned Grove City Christian. They had a case of COVID, too, so their game they couldn't play tonight. But, Larry, we talked about the Watterson situation. And it seemed like it would be a perfect matchup for them in Marysville, but it ends up Watterson travels up north to Millersburg tonight, about an hour and a half north to play West Holmes. And that game, Watterson actually just tied it here about 5-10 minutes ago. The last I saw, 16-16 in that one. But how does that just throw a major wrench in your game plan and everything? Not only your game plan for the team you're playing, but now you have travel you've got to deal with.
Oh, yeah. You got to get buses. You got to get the travel time. When are we leaving? All that stuff has to be sent out. Moms and dads get a little crazy when you change schedules.
Well,
like
I don't think it makes that much of a difference, you know, about who you're playing, because we saw that last year. You know, teams were deciding on Thursday, hey, let's play each other. When teams, you know, games were getting postponed, you know, that happened a couple times. I think it was Newark and Hamilton Township. That one pops into my head that might even have been like a Thursday night, Friday morning.
Yeah, it seems about right.
Yeah, and we had Tennyson Varney on here, and he's like, yeah, they were making calls up until, you know, damn near game time. He's being facetious a bit, but yeah,
But last year was different because everybody was in that kind of wait and see.
Well, but
nobody knew.
But I think that that's prepped everybody for this year to be able to handle it too. I think
that's probably,
you know,
right.
And you know, you brought up Watterson Marysville. I get that Watterson is a very young team, and you know, but with the playoffs being expanded to 16, You know, I think you can take those chances now, you know, and play those kind of games, because there are going to be, let's not even consider Division I at this point, because if you go back to 2019, the last full regular season, Divisions 1, 2, and I think 3 of the 4 regions in Division 1 would have had 1-9 teams in. And that's going to happen this year. But if you look at the other divisions that have the more schools, you're still going to have a lot of 5-5, 4-6 teams get in. That being said, Larry, how would you think that would change your philosophy as a coach during the regular season? Allow you to play kids that might not play when the games are so important?
Well, there's two things that happen. One, you can play more kids, and that coaches try to do that anyhow. But the second part, and I think this is something that's been coming for a long time, when you used to get a kid injured, let's say he had an ankle injury. It wasn't a severe injury, but it was, you know, it boogered him up for a week. You couldn't keep him out because you had a big game. You had to win them all. Now you can take him out. You might be able to help a kid get over an injury, not have to playing it, you know, at 60% or 70%, where you can wait a week and maybe get him back at 90%, and maybe it'll be better for the health of the kid. And you know that down the road, the difference between being a 7 seed and a 9 seed, you know, because you would have been out of the playoffs, now you're still in the playoffs, you got a chance. So that may have an effect on some things.
Well, and I think, too, you talked about it there. I think you may see some teams take more of a chance with their scheduling now,
absolutely,
too. And you're seeing some of that with some pretty high profile games here in the opening week of the season, some really big matchups.
Well, you know, that was something that we had trouble with scheduling, you know, at Bishop Reedy, because if you're good, people don't want to play you because you're small. You know, you're Catholic,
and they don't think they've got much to win.
And they don't have much to win.
Yeah.
But now you can take a chance at playing up. You can take a chance of playing somebody that you normally wouldn't play, but it's good for your kids to play somebody up, because then it becomes like a playoff game. You know what it's like to play at the next level, and that's what you're trying to get your kids ready to do anyhow. So now you can take that chance.
Do you like the expanded playoffs?
Yes and no. Years ago, I put out a proposal to play an 8-game regular season and go to 16. Mm-hmm. And then in those days, I think there were like 24 teams in each region. But I wanted 17 to play 18, 19 to play 20, 21 to play all the way through, so everybody had 10 games. In other words, play an 8-game regular season, but everybody played 10. And then, you know, the first two rounds of the playoffs would be home games. And you'd split the gate and do whatever you got to do for the – and then the state would get involved in the playoffs, you know, the next few weeks after that. And I just thought having more teams wouldn't be a problem. Now, in the super regional, you know, in the Division I, the big guy, you could get some ugly matchups, some really ugly matchups. But, you know, just play up. Learn,
yeah.
Play
and
better.
I guess I like it for Divisions 2 through 7.
Yep.
I would have liked to have seen Division 1 stick to 8, or if they want to go to 12 and give the top four
first
teams
round
a bye,
yep,
then you would still have, you know, if you had 16 in the other regions or the other divisions, then you would still have the same sequence,
right,
and the championships on the same weekend.
I mean, there are some number 9s and 10s that can play with people because they get a guy hurt. You know, you might get a guy hurt and you might lose a couple ball games because somebody's hurt. You take a DeSales.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
One of their best players is out now for 2, 3, or 4 weeks. They're still probably going to make the playoffs, mm-hmm, and he's going to be healthy at the end of the year, and he's going to have fewer hits on his body, and he might have a little more, you know, spring in his step.
Well, and we don't know how DeSales is going to be, but no. If say they're a 12 seed.
Yep.
And they're going to play a 5 seed. That 5 seed's like, great, we get DeSales. And you know that's what's going to end up happening.
Sure. But I feel like that's the DeSales history anyway. They go 6-4, 5-5 right in the regular season. Not history, but a lot of times.
A lot of times.
They're an 8 seed. Nobody wants to play them because they might be the best team in the region. I understand it. I get it. I don't like it, though. Mm-hmm. I think everything we do now cheapens the regular season and all sports, not just high school sports, and all of it. And I get it. The almighty dollar rules the day. You don't want to say that about high school sports, but it's true. A lot of this is because they want the playoff gates. They want the extra games. They need the money. I mean, the OHSAA needs the money as much as anyone after everything that happened last year. And I understand that. And I know, or I know that the proposal was that they were going to move to 12 teams anyway before everything with COVID last year. I just don't like it. I don't like it when we have teams with under 500 records getting in the playoffs.
And well, that's why I, you know, I called to double check. Is it's Division One, Two? It can't be Division One. Yeah. I mean, you're gonna, you know,
I think you're gonna have only two teams in each region not make the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, and you know, I don't know if some team is going. You know, if you're a 1-9 team and you know you're looking at Pickerington Central. I mean, I you know,
why?
Yeah, you know, I mean, hey, anybody get you know, you see the upsets in a lot of sports, but in high school football. It's just not there. You know, a 1-9 team could play Pickerington Central, a 10-0 Pickerington Central team 100 times, and if they're ever within 30 points one time, I think it would be a miracle. It's because of, you know, Coach Sherritt just kind of taking it down. I mean, it's no disrespect to the teams. It's just the reality of the situation.
And football's a little different. Mm-hmm. You're talking about a physical game where you can get hurt. I mean, in baseball. If an 0-15 plays a 15-0, the guy throws a no-hitter and it's 10-0 and you walk off after five. In basketball, you might get beat by 40, but nobody gets hurt. In football, every play is a potential disaster.
Yeah.
Well, and guys, we talked about some big matchups here in week one. Some of those that we've got tonight, DeSales versus Olentangy Berlin, Reedy and Newark Catholic. That's a game, Larry, that we've talked about for years. That should happen every year. I don't know why it doesn't. Pickerington North and Lancaster. Pickerington Central, we know they're not afraid to play anybody. They're on the road tonight at Massillon, Washington. Reynoldsburg and Upper Arlington. Westerville South and Olentangy. Just a couple of the big games that were on the docket tonight. And in fact, the big game last night kicking it all off. I was surprised when I saw the score. I thought this was a basketball game, Lee. But Hartley falls to Youngstown Ursuline last night, who was a state semifinalist last year in Division Four, 62-58.
I looked at that score and I thought, boy, this is going to be a fun year of football. You know, there was 1,000 yards of offense in that game. And, you know, but what was the difference in the game? A defensive stand.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. How
fourth and two play, I believe.
Yeah. And got thrown for a loss.
Well, it would have been 2,000 yards of offense, except Hartley holds the ball forever, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so if you had a traditional high school offense scoring that many points, it'd have been 1,500 yards because Hartley would have gone up and down the field several more times, probably.
Mm-hmm. Lee, so, I was talking to Coach tremendous. Birchfield today, and I asked him who played good for his team last night. He said, well, I think we played good offensively.
Yeah.
Both defensive coordinators are looking for a job.
Yeah.
No kidding, Brad. We do have a first final here tonight already. We're going to take our first time out of the year on the Scoreboard Show, but when we come back, we will tell you that final. We'll also run through some of these scores as well. Are these games going on? You're listening to the AM 820 Scoreboard Show. It's good to be back. Presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roof.
How do we make our customers happy? We give them peace of mind. With Able Roof, you don't just get a new roof, you get an entire roof crew. The leadership of a foreman, the experience of professional roofers, the quality of an objective inspection, and a great customer service team. The Able Roof team is proud to serve the Columbus area and bring along 40 years of expertise. AbleRoof.com.
Call Able for the proof. 444-ROOF.
Working as part of a team is strong. Working with a team of more than 1 million soldiers is Army Strong. Join the U.S. Army and train in one of more than 150 career fields. That's more options than any other military branch. Visit your local Army recruiter or log on to GoArmy.com for more. There is Strong, and then there's Army Strong. Paid for by the United States Army.
Scripture tells us that David beat Goliath with a sling and 5 smooth stones. Funny, the rosary looks kind of like that. The rosary is a Catholic devotional prayer. A set of 1 Our Father followed by 10 Hail Marys is called a decade. You do 5 decades and you have a rosary. And for each decade, we meditate on a mystery from Jesus' life. So the prayers we're breathing in and out set the stage for an encounter with the Word of God. Do a quick search online for the mysteries of the Rosary, which are different for each day of the week. What I really love about old-school Catholic devotionals like this is simplicity. I'll be honest, it's not always easy to pray or to lead my family in prayer. What do I do? What do I say? Rosary, problem solved. Look, every family's a mess in its own special way. Bring God into the mess. Your family's problems might be Goliaths. Maybe the solution's as simple as a sling and five smooth stones. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
If you're exploring your college options, make sure Walsh University is on your list. As a premier Catholic university with nearly 100 programs, NCAA Division II athletics, and students from 34 countries, Walsh wants to make affording a college degree possible for all students. Our scholarship packages and financial aid opportunities are designed to meet that promise. Call Walsh University today to discuss your scholarship package or visit us online at walsh.edu/yourfuture.
Academics, community, character, faith. For nearly a century, St. Charles has welcomed young men for an exceptional high school experience. Boasting a college preparatory curriculum, modern facilities, robust athletics and extracurriculars, and powerful student mentoring programs, more than 50% of our students receive financial aid, 100% are accepted to college. You're invited to help kick off our home football season at the Cardinal Kickoff Tailgate on September 10th. Join us at 5 p.m. for food, fun, and fellowship before the Cardinals take on Youngstown Cheney at Walt Plank Field. To learn more about St. Charles, visit stcharlesprep.org.
Double-digit pay raises are history. Now money's a lot harder to get a hold of and even harder to hang on to. That's why State Farm agent Kevin Smith would like to offer you a free discount double check. He'll go through your car insurance policy to make sure you're getting the discount you deserve and aren't leaving any money on the table. So call State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus today, because being there to help you keep more of your money in your pocket is why he's here. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome back, AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roofing. Ryan Baker here with you, along with the guru from This Week Sports, Lee Cochran, and our coach, Larry Wolf. Excited that high school football is back, and week one got underway last night. We talked about Hartley on the road at Youngstown Ursuline. They fall 58-62, the final. Hartley 58, Youngstown Ursuline 62, in about as big of a high-scoring game as I've heard in a while from that one. Like I said, kind of sounded like a basketball score last night. We mentioned we have a final already tonight, and it was another pretty big matchup. Hilliard Derby, though, they beat Olentangy Orange 17-0. And Larry, you said this one would be done by 9 o'clock, and it almost was.
Well, you know, Darby's going to run the football. That's what they're going to do. It's what they've done for since John Santagata has been there, and they're good at it. And so they also have the ability to throw the football. They got a pretty good quarterback, and they got a pretty good running game. So that combination allows them to do some things that they haven't been able to do in the past. And, you know, 17-0. Obviously, their defense played well, too. So let's a little shout-out for the defense, too.
And Hilliard Derby, they've got a pretty good returning quarterback in Blake Horvath, who that offense that Coach Santagata runs, it's not exactly easy, especially with today's football, because you don't see it a lot, and Horvath is really good at running it.
Well, he can throw it. He can run it. They've got a few receivers on the outside, but they hang their hat on their running game, and so you have to commit to stopping the run. Well, when you do that and you have a guy at quarterback that can make plays, that's an extra weapon.
Well, going into the season, Coach Santagata said that they needed their offense to come through because they only returned three starters on defense. And he said, we're going to be in trouble if our defense is out there 60, 70, 80 plays a game. And so, one, the defense had to play pretty damn well pitch a shutout. I don't care if you're out there 40 plays to pitch a shutout against an Olentangy Orange team.
Yes.
It's pretty impressive. You know, that's an Orange team starting at sixth quarterback in 6 years.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is on the flip side of that, Orange, they don't have that stability at quarterback like Darby does this year.
No, they don't. And they haven't had it. They've had interchangeable parts. But you know what? Zeb's done a great job there of putting the guy in a position, and they find a way to win.
But I think that's part of being in that system. You know, it's, I mean, we talked about it. It's you know, been at three of the four Olentangy schools. Berlin's the exception, where every year they seem to have a different quarterback. And it's you know, not that the guy isn't good enough to play, because a lot of times these kids are playing elsewhere, yep, and they finally get their chance to play quarterback. And that's the way it is. I mean, you know, but yeah, when you've got an offense that, like Darby's, it's got to be a blessing to have somebody like Blake back. I mean, he rushed for more than 1,000 yards last year, you know, and that's got to be a relief.
Well, he's a good-looking athlete, first of all. I mean, he's a good-sized kid. He's strong. He's physical. He's got good speed, and he makes good decisions. Well, you're running the triple, and you've got a quarterback that can run, and, oh, by the way, he can also throw the football. That becomes, you know, you remember the old Oklahoma offenses, mm-hmm, when they had all those guys in the backfield. My goodness.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they had some dudes.
Thomas Lott, J.C. Watts.
Yep. And, you know, you can't stop it. It's hard to stop, mm-hmm, that, because they force you to put eight in the box to stop the running game, and then you're manned up on the outside.
But,
so.
But let's be honest. I'm very surprised Olentangy Orange got shut out. Now, I know, yeah, last year they started with they lost 7-3. I can't remember. I think it might have been the Liberty. I can't recall. But,
well, they lost to Watterson 1 year in the opening game too. I mean, it's like, how did that happen? But it happens.
Well, and
they'll get it fixed. Zeb Schroeder will get it fixed.
Zeb said that this could be his most talented team since 2017. You know, but it shows you again. It goes back, and you know what we talked about earlier. You know, with the expanded playoffs, You know, it's not, I mean, any loss is gut-wrenching. You know that better than anybody sitting at this table.
There are no good losses.
It is. There's no good losses. Anybody that talks about moral victories has never played sports, in my opinion.
They shouldn't be playing sports.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a little bit, I think, maybe easier to take and to be, you know, okay, we can work through this. We can take our time and build, because you're playing for the end of the year. You're not playing for the beginning of the year. And in years past, you played for the beginning of the year, too.
You had to be ready coming out of the gate, because a game like this could knock you out of the playoffs. Now, not in the OCC. I mean, cause you got enough big games.
Well, we talked about this last year when they said everybody could be in. We talked to several coaches that said, all changes of mindset.
Sure does.
You know, you look at somebody like Buddy White.
Yep.
And he said last year, when he knew everybody was going to be in, he played his underclassmen a lot, thinking about this year. And they could be very good this year.
Well, and also you play those young kids because you got to stay healthy. And it gets you ready for the end of the year. Now you have experience in the playoffs, and you're going to get there.
So, well, and it's kind of nice. And a lot of other teams, in a sense, get to taste what an Olentangy Liberty, a Pickerington Central,
right,
to where they're playing 14 games. Yeah. They're getting 15 games. They're playing 5 extra weeks of practice. And we've talked to Jay Sherritt
advantage
1,000 times, yep, about how big that is. You know, some of these guys, you know, some of these coaches took advantage of that last year.
Yep. Well, you know, even in small schools, when you get 2 or 3 playoff games, well, if you do that over 2 or 3 years in a row, you're talking about an extra season. Mm-hmm. You know, the freshmen, by the time they're seniors, are actually like freshmen in college. They've had an extra season of practices and games. So it's really a tremendous advantage to make the playoffs and to make a run.
Want to get to some of these big games still going on, but we did have 2 games just go final. And this one, another school, Larry, that you're very familiar with, Reedy Falls tonight. They lose to Newark Catholic 34-8. Tough circumstances going on at Reedy this year, with Michael Schaefer having to be the interim coach as Joel Cutler's taken a leave of absence. Larry, how difficult is that? You know, last year we saw this a lot with new head coaches at schools, and then they don't have an off season. Well, Coach Schaefer, he's been at the school, but he hasn't been the head coach, and he gets thrown in a month before the season. How tough is that?
Oh, and oh, by the way, you're playing Newark Catholic. Just thought, hey, welcome to the big time, Mike. You want to be a head coach? Well,
you want that cream puff opener.
Yeah, it's a piece of cake. I mean, Newark Catholic, Reedy, they should play
each other. They're Division 7 school. Why are you worried about them?
Yeah, they're just Division 7 size-wise, but their football is anything but Division 7. These guys are a perennial powerhouse, and even when they're down, you don't necessarily want to line up and have to play these guys. They are well-coached. Coach Aiello does a great job out there. Billy Franks before him, and everybody else before them. You know, Newark Catholic's been on the radar since the 1960s, and they've been a solid football program forever. This will be a stub-your-toe night for Reedy, but they'll get it fixed. And these teams that lose tonight, Monday's practice is really going to be a lot of fun because they're going to get a lot better for next week. The biggest advantage is between week one and week two.
Yeah, we have every coach that we talk to say the biggest week of practice, the most important week of practice is between weeks one and two.
Absolutely.
Because you know what's wrong and you can get it fixed.
In the film room tomorrow morning, I guarantee you those kids at Newark Catholic will think they lost. I had one of my players this summer text me and he goes, every time we beat a team, we came in for films and we felt like we lost. And that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, we have so many things to fix, you can't fix them all. So Reedy will get them fixed. Newark Catholic won't be as good as that 34-7 or 34-8, and Reedy won't be that bad.
Well, that's what's interesting because we'll go back. We'll be about week eight. We'll look at some of these games and we'll talk about these teams. Like Olentangy Orange, they're not as bad as getting beat 17-0.
No.
Reedy's not as bad as getting beat 34-8. And, you know, maybe Newark Catholic is that good. I don't know. I mean, they've got a veteran quarterback.
They've got
a real good quarterback. You know, maybe Darby's back. Maybe Darby's going to be a good football team this year. You know, they were 4-4 last year,
yep.
You know, and they could be a very good football team. So that to me is what makes this exciting. And like I got goosebumps just talking about this stuff. That's what makes it exciting to me because we know Pickerington Central is going to be good. We know Olentangy Liberty is going to be good.
How do we know that?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we don't, Larry, but I'll bet you on that one.
I'll take Jay Sheraton 20.
Larry, you talked about Bill Franks, the run of success he had at Newark Catholic. Well, he's back at Newark now, and they lose tonight to Zanesville 41-0. Lee, I don't think that's a surprise to anyone, though. Tough time out there at Newark.
No, I mean, they had, you know, it's been several years since they've been, you know, really any good in football, and you really wonder. I mean, I always wonder about the one school communities, you know, especially when they're Division I, because you know they've got kids. You know,
you got to get them out of the hallways and get them to play. That's
the
problem.
You know, and I know that from Gahanna. You know, I talked to one coach. He said his first day there, they said your biggest task you have is recruiting, getting the big kids out there to play.
Yeah.
So
well, and they have so many other options now to do other stuff that's more fun and cutesy, and you know, in the old days. You longed for football practice. You couldn't wait for it to start. You couldn't, you know what I mean? The kids, they just grew up that way. This is our town. It's our school. It's our team. Now they've got all kinds of things they do. They, you know, they're texting their buddies. They're playing games on the computer. I mean, they're doing other things besides lifting weights all summer, running and you know, throwing up and doing all the stuff that everybody's done for 50 years to get ready for opening night. And, you know, that's just the way it is.
Well, it takes dedication.
Yep.
And, you know, hey, I graduated high school in 1983, and there was a guy in our senior class who just didn't want to play football. Big as a house, didn't want to play football. He didn't have the dedication then. He didn't have the desire. And, you know, that's if you don't have it, then yeah, stay on the sidelines because you're going to get yourself hurt or you're going to get somebody else hurt.
Yeah, it's tough. And every sport's that way now, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you see, you know, basketball games used to be packed. People, you couldn't get in a gymnasium. Now you can throw a grenade in there and not hurt anybody.
But I tell you, and I think you'd attest to this, I don't care if you're winning a football game, a baseball game, a basketball game. When that game's over and you've won, I don't know if there's a better feeling on this earth.
Nope, there's not.
We'd mentioned some of the big games going on here in week number one. One of the big ones, we're talking about teams that aren't scared to play anybody. Harvest Prep, they sure don't care who they play whenever. They play Eastmore and then Hartley back-to-back to start the year this year. And they're playing Eastmore right now, and Harvest Prep is winning this one 41-26. Harvest Prep and Milan Smith and Jalen Jennings rolling here so far to start the year.
Well, they were down 20-6. In the second quarter too, and they've just turned it up. I mean, Milan Smith has built a program. I don't know how you want to look at it right now because they've got to do a little bit more in the playoffs, I think. But man, I mean, that Hartley game gets very interesting.
Well, and they had a good run last year in the Division V playoffs. Mm-hmm. They're a school playing Division V, but they're Division VII size. Yeah. And Lee, we were texting earlier this week. For a school the size of Harvest Prep, I couldn't believe the size of their offensive line. I mean, 300, 295, 275, 250. That's a huge line for an Olentangy school, let alone.
Yeah, well, don't forget when he had Daniel Bangura running for thousands of yards. It was the lineman, or the tight end, who went to Wisconsin.
Manny Mullins.
Yeah.
So what's the over and under next week with Hartley and Harvest Prep? I mean, Hartley scored 58 this week against Ursuline, and you got Harvest Prep is going to score probably 50 tonight. What's the over-under
next week?
And that's
not a bad Eastmore team.
No,
it's not. That's not a bad Eastmore team.
That Eastmore team is going to run, they're going to run over a lot of City League schools.
We were talking earlier tonight before we went on the air, Eastmore, we were talking about sizes, schools, and how many players. Eastmore's got 70 on their roster this year, by far the biggest City League school.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, and when, you know, they've been one of the more successful City League schools too. You know, they've been to state. They lost in the state final.
Miranda. Mm-hmm. Jim Miranda is there. He's solid. He's not going anywhere. He's built a program there, and the kids like it. And Eastmore, you go all the way back before Archie. I mean, I remember a guy named Frank Stavroff, you know, back in the early 60s. Pretty good quarterback there, you know. That was before your time, Leah.
Well, you got to think. Eastmore last year started out 1-4, won 5 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lee, another game that really intrigued me, you and I talked a little bit about it this week, and I think it split the staff in the this week picks, was Upper Arlington and Reynoldsburg. Upper Arlington's Carson Gressick just went 49 yards for a touchdown. However, they still trail Reynoldsburg, and that one, the score is 41-28 now.
Well, those guys have always played, you know, crazy kind of close games. Some have been low scoring. But for Reynoldsburg, their quarterback, Dejon Jennings, he's one kid.
Deal.
Yeah. He's one of those ones that if you get a chance to see him play, he's legit. There's a few quarterbacks, Amari Jenkins from Sciota. He's legit. I mean, these guys are just fun and exciting to watch. And we talked about Reynoldsburg earlier. You know how Buddy White, you know, played some younger kids and got them a lot of playing time last year, and that looks like it's paying off so far.
Well, they're older kids now.
Yeah, exactly.
They're older kids now. They're no more freshmen.
Another one of the big games that I wanted to talk about has just gone final. Pickerington North knocks off Lancaster in Coach Brian Schoonover's first game for the Golden Gaels. 23-10, the final in that one. So Coach Hillerich and the Panthers get off to a good start this year against a good Lancaster team.
That is a good Lancaster team, and it'll be interesting to see how Brian does down there. I mean, you know, he's replacing a legend, you know, and good for Brian, and he'll do a good job. But Nate Hillerich, again, that's one of those guys. He's not going anywhere. He's been at the school for a long time. You know what you're going to get in Pickerington, and it may not be Central, but North and Central are going to have their moments where they're going to beat each other crazy here in a little while. So they'll be fine, and Nate Hillerich does a great job out there. So, you know, Brian Schoonover, he'll fix it on Monday. You know, they'll come in for films tomorrow morning. They'll fix it in practice on Monday, and you can bet that Lancaster's going to be back, and they'll be playing Lancaster football again.
And what Coach Schoonover did at Groveport, the way he turned them around, now granted, he had a great group of kids come through, but the way he turned those kids around, that program around, he's going to do the same at Lancaster.
Absolutely.
Guys, we had another one go final as we were just talking about that Pickerington North game. Another one that I don't think will surprise anyone. New Albany, 50-7 winners tonight over Watkins Memorial. And this New Albany team, talk about the run of success they've had here recently with a baseball state championship, some of these kids crossing over, and the coach's son, Derek Kidwell, stepping in and playing quarterback now when he really wasn't sure he was going to have to this year.
Well, Bubba Kidwell is an old friend of mine. I mean, we go back to the first year at Darby High School. He taught at Darby for a while, and he's done a great job out at New Albany. And just a shout out to him to stay healthy.
Yes.
No more craziness this year, Bubba. Just stay healthy, baby. Stay healthy.
Yeah, and you know, it's a rough start for Darren Waters there at Watkins. He'd been a longtime coach at Licking Heights. And
not a far drive there.
No,
Switch.
Not too far. And you know, it's a wow. I mean, I guess I'm not surprised New Albany won, but you know, that's a big score. That's a big score.
Yeah, and New Albany will go in tomorrow morning, and they'll have 100 things that they did wrong, and they'll, you know what I mean. That's the way it is. And you say, well, we won by 50.
Oh, you let them enjoy it tonight.
Sure.
And it's time to work tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning we get back in the weight room, we do our sprints, and we come in and watch the film, and it's never as good as you thought.
Guys, and then one more I want to get to here just before we go to break in the big games. We mentioned Pickerington Central on the road tonight. They're up north taking on Massillon, Washington. Braden Mantooth just threw a touchdown pass to Kobe Gorman, and the Tigers lead Maslin, Washington by a score of 16-7 now. So Pickerington Central starting off pretty much where they left off last year, minus that state championship.
Well, you knew
game.
The Tigers were going to win this
That's
game.
That's right. The Tigers were going to win the game because it's Tigers on Tigers.
It almost tripped me up there for a second. We're going to go ahead and take another break here on the Scoreboard Show. But when we come back, hopefully we'll have some more scores for you. We'll also talk about some more of these big games in the area tonight and get a couple coaches as well. It's the AM 820 Scoreboard Show presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roof.
How do we make our customers happy? We give them peace of mind. With Able Roof, you don't just get a new roof, you get an entire roof crew. The leadership of a foreman, the experience of professional roofers, the quality of an objective inspection, and a great customer service team. The Able Roof team is proud to serve the Columbus area and bring along 40 years of expertise. AbleRoof.com.
Call Able for the proof, 444-ROOF.
Oakland Nursery wants to encourage you to live a life of gratitude. Whatever challenge you face today, count your blessings and praise God in all circumstances, even circumstances that seem unfair and difficult. Oakland Nursery is conveniently located in Columbus, Delaware, New Albany, and Dublin, or you can shop online at oaklandnursery.com. oaklandnursery.com.
This is a Young Catholic Minute. I don't believe in hell. A loving God wouldn't send anybody to such a place. You're right. A loving God wouldn't do that. But he's not going to force anyone to go to heaven either. If you dislike a certain relative and they knew it, is it loving of them to be around every chance they got? No. If they really loved you, they'd let you decide if you wanted to be around them or not. It's the same thing with God. He loves us, but won't force us to love him back. Because true love can't be forced. God gives us our lives on earth as a way to choose if we want to love him and spend eternity with him in heaven, or if we want to reject him and live apart from him in hell. So how do we know how to love God? Pray for guidance and grace, follow the commandments in the church, seek the truth, and let it lead you right to heaven. For more Young Catholic Minutes, go to youtube.com/youngcatholic.
If you are exploring your college options, make sure Walsh University is on your list as a premier Catholic university with nearly 100 programs, NCAA Division II athletics, and students from 34 countries. Walsh wants to make affording a college degree possible for all students. Our scholarship packages and financial aid opportunities are designed to meet that promise. Call Walsh University today to discuss your scholarship package or visit us online at walsh.edu/yourfuture.
Working as part of a team is strong. Working with a team of more than 1 million soldiers is Army Strong. Join the U.S. Army and train in one of more than 150 career fields. That's more options than any other military branch. Visit your local Army recruiter or log on to GoArmy.com for more. There is Strong, and then there's Army Strong. Paid for by the United States Army.
Ryan Baker, the guru Lee Cochran, and our head coach Larry Wolf joining you on the AMA 20 Scoreboard Show presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roof. You can follow the Scoreboard Show on social media. On Twitter, it's at AM820 Scoreboard, and Facebook as well, AM820 Scoreboard. And don't forget, you can catch all the scores throughout the week, or if you miss one, on our website, AM820Scoreboard.com. You can also find links to ThisWeekSports.com over there and check out their Friday Night Live articles after the games and previews before the games, and also a link to Able Roof, our fine sponsor. Thank you for them for sponsoring the Scoreboard Show this year. A couple more finals as we were at break. Canal Winchester has knocked off Groveport tonight, 25-3. Big win for them in Coach Jake Keener's debut.
Yeah, we just talked about Watkins Memorial. We're getting beaten at. Where's where you coached last year. But he's got quite a running back over there in Stephen Bird. Yeah, he had 130 yards, three touchdowns on 19 carries. And he missed all the third quarter. It looked like leg cramps, according to what the report I got. And, you know, we talk about defense. They allowed Groveport 40 total yards.
Well, obviously they controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides, but but listen,
you figured that out, coach.
Yeah, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed for nothing. But Groveport, again, they've got some athletes down there. They just kind of get it together. They just, you know, it's early in the year, and they're going to have their chances down the road. They've got to get it together.
Groveport's another one of those teams, Larry, with
scary.
A huge offensive line. Mm-hmm. They've got a kid that's 405 pounds that's not starting, and another kid that's 395 at one of their tackles. And then in between, it's like 305 to 285. It's crazy how big their line is.
Well, and you got to run straight downhill. You got to do what those guys can do, which is go straight ahead.
Yeah, but you also got to realize, you know, Groveport's replacing its quarterback, yep, and their top two running backs from last year, Underdown and McGraw. And those guys are first and third in all-time career rushing at Groveport.
And that's going to take time. You can't just do this by, you know, magic water. We don't have any of that.
Yeah. But again, this year you've got time.
Yep.
Larry, while we were on break, you asked if we had an update for the DeSales Olentangy Berlin game. Whit Hobgood just scored for DeSales to make it 17-12. However, Berlin recovered the ensuing onside kick, so Berlin up 5 late in that.
You know, we were watching that game earlier, and DeSales missed an extra point and I believe 3 field goals. I mean, so but in the third quarter, it looked like Berlin just completely took over the game. And then Berlin fumbled the ball deep into DeSales territory, so DeSales got created a break. Mm-hmm. And, you know, DeSales is one of those teams, too, that they've got such a good pedigree. You have to knock them out. They're not going to go away quietly. You're going to have to knock them out. So it doesn't surprise me that DeSales came back late to make it a game. But they had every chance to win this game with a few kicks.
Well, it's not over yet. They still got a chance, possibly.
Well, yeah, they do. But Berlin's an interesting team. I mean, they're in their fourth year.
They're a good team.
Well, but this is the first time they've actually had to replenish the stock. I mean, Jacob Moeller's no longer there. They've lost a lot of kids. This is the first time they've had to say, okay, who's stepping up? Because, you know, they didn't have seniors the first year. So a lot of these kids, you know, got to play 2 years. A lot of them played 3 years. Now they're at that point to where, okay, we got to see what's happened on JV, how these kids are going to make that move up.
Well, and you can see Berlin in all of their sports, their baseball program. I mean, I coached baseball at Darby last year, and you could just see Berlin getting better and better and better every year that we played them in baseball. And it's the same in football. They've got more kids that are now stockpiling. You know, those JV teams can play on Saturday morning without raiding the varsity kids away. You know, they have their own team, and it's and they get a lot of playing time. And so they're a good football team.
Guys, a couple just gone final here. Bloom Carroll tonight beats Highland 49-17. How about starting off your season with a rivalry game? Westerville Central knocks off Westerville North tonight 14-7. And then the other one I got here, where did it go? It just escaped me. I need to find. Oh, Gahanna. They went on the road tonight to Mason, and they fall 15-7. So three pretty big games there for all of those teams. And those are the victors and the losers in that one. And
that's another one that, you know, you come into this season. Westerville North posts their first winning season since 2004.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know, we talked to Brian Johnson, and this isn't a one-year deal. We've got to be able to sustain this. And, you know, that's a way to jump out. You know, now Central's won the last 12 meetings. You know, this is a Central team. You know, we're talking about Berlin rebuild. Central lost 21 starters. You know, that's, you know, you know what, coach? Again, you may not have a lot of math up there, but you know that's a lot.
You better find a whole lot of JV kids that can play right now. And 14-7. Is reflective of that.
Yeah.
All these kids, it's their first Friday night. It's their first time under the lights where they're being counted on instead of mop-up time.
In a game like that, though, from both teams, obviously you lost, and we've talked about how moral victories don't exist. But if you're North, you've got to feel a little good knowing that, you know, Central is the program in Westville right now, and you hung right with them. They hung with Westville South last year. So, you know, I mean, you know, you look at it and you say, hey, you know, this is a good sign.
Well, I remember when we talked about that North or the North South game last year. You know, early in the year, we said, that, you know, that might be an interesting game. And then as it went on and on and on, you said, well, this North team is for real. I mean, he's doing a great job up there, and he's got them believing. Mm-hmm. And that's half of it. And 14-7, I guarantee you tomorrow's film session is going to be ugly. They're going to get in there, and they're going to say, boys, we had a chance to win this. We could have done this. We could have done that. And he's got some cash in the bank from last year that he's using now. And the kids will buy into it, and they'll get better next week.
Two quick updates on games in play here before we go to our first coach of the season. Jalen Jennings just went 91 yards for Harvest Prep, and they lead Eastmore 48-26. And Braden Mantooth calls his own number, gives Pick Central another touchdown. They're up 23-7 now over Massillon, Washington. We talked earlier about Pickerington North. They're 1-0 now on the year after knocking off Lancaster 23-10 tonight. Their head coach, Nate Hillerich, joins us on the Scoreboard Show. And coach, I know you got the big win tonight, but being the first coach to talk to us this year on the Scoreboard Show in 2021, that's got to be bigger than the win tonight, isn't it?
Man, what an honor. I mean, everybody loves this bus ride home. You know, we always throw it on and listen, so thank you guys for what you do.
Coach, congratulations on the big win tonight. Before we get into the game, just how nice was it this year to have a full off season with your team and not have as many of the restrictions that you guys had to go through last year?
I'll tell you what, that was great, but the best thing was just having a Friday night seem pretty normal. Seeing the band, the cheerleaders, the student sections, the atmosphere at Fulton Field down in Lancaster, it was unbelievable. It was packed house. Just unbelievable to get the feeling back, to kind of get things back to normal in 2021.
Well, getting it back to normal, what did it take? About one play and you forget all about the crowd, the band, and it's football again, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was a hot one out there. So, you know, guys are sweating, cramps early in the year. A little bit too sloppy as it would be on the week one. So it was a great night. Found a way to win.
Well, you know, Coach, this is Coach Wolf calling, talking to you. We often just take it for granted that we're going to show up on Friday night. And last year taught us a lesson. Nothing is for sure until we get a chance to do it. And I know that there's about 5,000 parents out there that are happy to have a chance to go see a football game on a Friday night and to be treated with a 23-10 win. That's got to be great for your whole fan base and everybody.
No doubt.
That's fantastic.
Now, Coach, who played particularly well for you? I mean, you've got a new quarterback. I mean, you've got DeJuan Green back at running back. But who played particularly well for you?
You know, it was a total team effort. Our kids, you know, we fought back through adversity. We came out in the second half. We were up 9-7, and had a huge stop. We knew we had to set the tone. We were up 2 points. They got the ball. They moved it their last couple drives of the second quarter. So just having our guys just step it up and get a big three and out to start the second half. And then we hung our hat and run into DeJuan Green. Like you said, he's a junior running back. He's played since his freshman year. He ran for 120 yards, three touchdowns. Just kind of warmed down as the game went on.
Okay, we talked earlier that the biggest week of practice is between week one and two. You guys won. You got a good victory. What do you got to work on next week?
Man, just getting better at every aspect. You know, I think some of the live things, special teams, I feel like we were a little bit of a mess tonight. Some penalties, guys lining up wrong. Just some of those little things. We had the young guys out there that maybe hadn't played. So just cleaning up every aspect of the game, the little things that you really can't work on until it's a game situation.
You know, Nate, for the last 4,000 years, Coach Carpenter's been down there at Lancaster, and you pretty much knew what you were going to get. I mean, you knew you were going to get, like, foot-to-foot splits, wing tee. We're going to come at you, run downhill, and pound you. How much different was it this year, you know, preparing for a new Brian Schoonover team that, of course, he came from Groveport, so he had some knowledge of what he was going to do. But how much different is that, preparing for a team like that?
You know, it was just like normal. you know, it honestly was exactly the same, because I think their staff was pretty much identical. Same, you know, offensive line coach, same. A lot of the same coaches, the staff looked the same, and it was, you know, still tough, disciplined football team that you were going to have to earn everything you get from them. So, you know, Coach Schoonover is doing a great job, and I think there was excitement. They're going to be a tough team to beat all year.
welcome to Lancaster football.
Yeah. And welcome to 2021, Coach, and being 1-0. Congratulations on the big win to open the season, 23-10 tonight over Lancaster. Good luck, Coach, moving into next week.
All right, thank you.
He's the head coach of Pickerington North, Nate Hillerich. Again, 23-10 tonight. They knock off Lancaster. Couple more finals that we got here, guys. There, as we were talking to Coach Hillerich, Steubenville beats Olentangy Liberty 22-7 tonight. You said you weren't too surprised by that score, Lee, but I am a little bit. I know Liberty has to replace a lot, but they replace a lot every year. They're a good team up there. That one shocked me a little bit.
Yeah, well, Steubenville's been to playoffs, I think, 21 straight years. They've got three state titles, three state runner-up finishes, and you know, they're another one of those teams that they're a lower division, but they don't play like a lower division.
Well, you know what you're going to get with Steubenville. You're going to get a headache. That's what you're going to get
when you
play
them. Yeah, real football, yeah, you're going to get a headache.
You're going to like wake up tomorrow morning and go, what just happened?
So the Patriots start the year 0-1 this year.
And then they've got, they've got Glenville next. You know, I mean, it just doesn't get any easier for them.
Liberty's another one of those teams that we know will play anywhere, anytime, that's for sure.
Well, they have to because nobody really wants to play them, so they have to go wherever they can get a game.
And then you talk about hard-nosed football, Larry, with Steubenville. This game here screams hard-nosed. Licking Heights beats Johnstown 42-14.
42-14
wow. Is the score I got.
Heights beat Johnstown.
Yes, sir.
That's
a little bit of a surprise. Yeah, I guess
that's a surprise to me.
Hey, when you stump Larry and he can't think of anything to say, that's a surprise.
I've got nothing. I'm going on a commercial break. I'm out.
Well, we're not going on a commercial break yet.
No, but I am.
The first score we got tonight was Hilliard Derby. They knock off Olentangy Orange 17-0 to open their season. Their head coach John Santagata joins us now on the AM 820 Scoreboard Show. And Coach, 17-0. Great performance from your defense tonight with the shutout to open the season.
Yeah, I'm obviously proud of our defense, how they played. You know, really the whole game, they from the their first play out there to the last, they kept going, kept battling. Orange had a couple opportunities, moving the ball down the field, but our guys just kept playing hard, and I'm proud of them.
Well, Coach, you said in the preview that you've got a young defense. Only three starters, I guess, inexperienced. Only three starters return, and you don't want your defense out there 60, 70, 80 plays. But so you've got a quarterback in Blake Horvath that can control the ball offensively. Is that what happened tonight in part two?
Yeah, I think we were able to control the clock. I don't have the numbers in yet. We're still working on all of that, but you know, Blake's a tremendous athlete. He puts us in the right play. You know, he's the captain of our football team, extremely intelligent, great character, and just a tremendous athlete. And, you know, obviously we're very happy that we have him. You know, and then we had some other guys stepped up today, a couple slots, and Bo Bridges and Nate Burdick and a fullback, James Hakes. And so proud of all of those guys and really everybody on the offense. Really, you know, everybody got together and played hard game one.
Well, you know, John, those of us that have been fortunate enough to coach at Hilliard Derby know that we have just phenomenal talent, phenomenal facilities, phenomenal everything. If the kids could just overcome the coaching, and obviously they did that tonight. So what do you attest that to?
Well, Larry, I tried to hire you, if you remember.
I know.
But that didn't work
out. We have such low standards at Hilliard. Yeah. You tried to hire me. I know how that feels,
like
John.
I felt like crazy, Larry. You know what I mean?
But I know. If you'd have sent roses, yeah, I might have said yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I should have. But obviously, I'm just happy that the kids, you know, we played it a little sense of normal out there for everybody, to be honest with you. People out there enjoying Friday night football in the state of Ohio. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
We talked to Coach Hillerich, and he said, you know, just a sight, you know, that you could tell how much you missed it. Did you talk to the players? Because, you know, last year it wasn't this atmosphere, and some of the kids are playing again this year. Did you talk about how different it was going to be?
I mean, I think our kids are pretty resilient. You know, these Derby kids are tough, and you know you face some obstacles in life, and obviously we're all dealing with the COVID thing, and I think that they're handling it extremely well. And you know, it's just like a rain delay, thunder and lightning. You got to go sit in that heat and sit there, and you know what? They come and they're ready to play. Same thing with COVID, and got to wear masks, got to do what you got to do, got to suffer through a year, and here we go again, and they're ready to go. So I'm proud of them.
It's just kind of nice, though, to finally see, you know, 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 people in the seats and the band playing, the cheerleaders doing what they do, and moms and dads, and just the normalcy. And it's just good to get back to normal. It just feels so good to have football on Friday night.
It does. It's healthy, and it's good for everybody, and hopefully we can continue it. And it's good for our country. It's good for Ohio. It's good for Derby.
Go ahead. We're with you, win or tie. You know that. So just keep winning.
Just remember, Larry, I tried hiring you.
I know.
well, Coach, these games get out. Your game was over by about 9 o'clock tonight. Do you ever lobby the district to get a cut of all the money you're saving, turning out the lights early, getting everybody out of there early?
You know, that's a good point.
I think it's a plan, John. I think it's a plan.
Monday morning.
We have a new superintendent. See how that works.
Yeah, tell him it was written in with the old superintendent that's starting this year.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the big win, the shutout tonight over Olentangy Orange. Big one next week. And, big game next week. Talk a little bit about that.
You know, it's... Bradley's haven't honestly looked at any tape. I don't really know what's going on. I don't even know if they won or lost tonight. I did hear that they got some, like, a new quarterback, but I don't think he was on their JV team. I don't know how that can't transpired. So I'm curious to see him on tape and see what he's all about. Because obviously offenses revolve around a quarterback. So I know they got a lot of talent. You know, they a big school. And so curious to see. You know, the kids will be excited to play it.
Well, Coach, congratulations again on the victory tonight. And unfortunately, since you didn't hire Larry, we got stuck with him. But I guess we'll take him.
Everybody's got a cross to bear.
Yeah.
Coach, thanks.
All right, well, guys, good luck with Larry, and thank you very much for all you do.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thanks a lot for joining us, Coach John Santagata of the Hilliard Derby Panthers, 17-0 winners tonight over Olentangy Orange. That's a big, big win to start the season.
Listen, you got Orange on Friday night this week. You've got a neighborhood game next week. You could go 0-2 right out of the gate. And right now they're 1-0 and they're licking their chops waiting for a neighborhood game.
Yeah, and you get a little bit of momentum starting. It's just one game, but it's so much bigger than that. I mean, it's so much momentum.
Yeah, you don't have to win two to get over the hump.
Yeah, and they got to feel good going into that game next week. Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of confidence, especially on that defense. Mm-hmm. You know, eight new starters, and they pitch a shutout against a team like Orange. That's impressive.
Guys, when we were talking to Coach Santagata, we had a lot of games start finishing up. Unfortunately, it's kind of crazy. We're already 1 hour in to this scoreboard show already in 2021. But we're going to take a quick break. Before we go to break, though, guys, how about this? Carson Gressick with his fourth touchdown. He's got 279 yards tonight, and Upper Arlington only trails Reynoldsburg by a score of 41-35 now, so we'll definitely be watching that as we head towards the end. We'll run through all the scores coming up next in hour number two of the AM 820 Scoreboard Show.
How do we make our customers happy? We give them peace of mind. With Able Roof, you don't just get a new roof, you get an entire roof crew. The leadership of a foreman, the experience of professional roofers, the quality of an objective inspection, and a great customer service team. The Able Roof team is proud to serve the Columbus area and bring along 40 years of expertise. AbleRoof.com.
Call Able for the proof, 444-ROOF.
Academics, community, character, faith. For nearly a century, St. Charles has welcomed young men for an exceptional high school experience. Boasting a college preparatory curriculum, modern facilities, robust athletics and extracurriculars, and powerful student mentoring programs, more than 50% of our students receive financial aid, 100% are accepted to college. You're invited to help kick off our home football season at the Cardinal Kickoff Tailgate on September 10th. Join us at 5 p.m. for food, fun, and fellowship before the Cardinals take on Youngstown Cheney at Walt Plank Field. To learn more about St. Charles, visit stcharlesprep.org.
Oakland Nursery started in 1940 and is founded on taking pride in your work and continual improvement. Oakland Nursery wants to encourage you to work hard and improve every day. Excellence is a matter of effort and teamwork. Work as if everything depends on you, and pray as if everything depends on God. Oakland Nursery is conveniently located in Columbus, Delaware, New Albany, and Dublin, or you can shop online at oaklandnursery.com. oaklandnursery.com.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm agent Kevin Smith help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Kevin Smith handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn you discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus today and get to a better state with State Farm.
A recent study was done of teens to see if they could handle being without their screens. The people conducting the study agreed to pull the plug if it got dangerous. The results, quote, only three reached the end of the experiment. Three had suicidal thoughts, five experienced intense panic attacks, 27 had symptoms like nausea, sweating, dizziness, hot flashes, and abdominal pain. Almost everyone had feelings of fear and anxiety. We've all heard the myth that some people are great multitaskers. Not true. Studies have shown that the more things you do at one time, the more you stink at doing all of them. Our brains only have so much bandwidth. If your attention is drawn to a screen, that means it's being drawn away from life all around you. Here's my screen detox challenge. Unplug it every meal, and every Sunday, you'll survive. If you don't get disciplined about unplugging a little, those screens can go from a blessing to an addiction faster than you can say apple. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
WVSG, Columbus, Ohio. Statewide, this is the home for listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Hard to believe, but we are already in hour number two of the first AM 820 scoreboard show of the 2021 season, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Abel Roof. I am Ryan Baker. He is the guru, Lee Cochran from This Week Sports. And, of course, we've got to have a head coach on our team, and that is longtime Reedy head coach Larry Wolf to my right, bringing you all the scores from this week one season. And, guys, the cool thing that I saw there for our first hour, as you can just hear it in the coaches' voices, the couple that we talked to, how excited they are to kind of have everything back to normal as possible this year.
Yeah, we normally don't use the word excitement and John Santagata in the same sentence, so but we'll go ahead and use it this time.
Well, after hearing he wanted to hire you, I don't know that I'll use sane either.
Nobody would ever say he's very smart either. But I said no, which makes me smarter.
Guys, since we've hit the top of the hour here, let's go ahead and run through the finals that we do have already so far tonight. Quite a few of them coming in here in the last 10 to 15 minutes. Of course, it all got started last night with that basketball game up in Youngstown. Ursuline knocks off Hartley 62-58. We were talking, Larry. Hartley plays Harvest Prep next week. Harvest Prep's got 60 right now against Eastmore in this one. The over-under you were talking 100 about for next week, that should be an exciting game.
There may not be enough lights on the scoreboard. Just hang up numbers. It's going to be 100.
Yeah, watch it be 17-14.
Yeah, that's usually how it happens.
3-0.
Yeah. I know the one thing, there's going to be a ton of athletes on that Jack Ryan Field next Friday night. DeSales falls to Olentangy Berlin tonight, 17-12. The final in that one. West Holmes beats Waterson 26-16 in a game that just came about yesterday, as Waterson was supposed to play Whetstone. Of course, that game got canceled because of a COVID case in the Whetstone program. Central Crossing beats Marion Franklin tonight, 27-6, the final in that one. Canal Winchester, 25-3, winners over Groveport. Pickerington North, you just heard from head coach Nate Hillerich, they beat Lancaster tonight by a score of 23-10. Zanesville, 41-0, they beat Newark this evening. Dublin Scioto, this is a final we just got, barely squeaks by Grove City, 29-27. Lee, this one surprises me that this was this close, because Dublin Sciota had a great run last year. They've got their top quarterback back, their top running back, and their top receiver. And Grove City's obviously a team that struggled a little bit. Is this a sign that maybe Grove City's a little better than we thought, or is Dublin Sciota just kind of coasting here the first week?
Well, again, I think it goes back to what we've talked about already, that, you know, Grove City's got to feel pretty good about this in a loss. And Sciota, you know, it's – kids are, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18 playing this game. And they know what how Grove City's been the last few years. And Sciota has a lot of hopes. I mean, they're looking for their first league title since 2003. You know, you're not saying you get overconfident, but you don't think that this team can be good. And you give a team like Grove City a little bit of an opening, and they're going to take advantage of it. That's going to be a tough thing, Coach, to convince kids that a team is better than what they think they are.
It's opening night. You don't even know how good you are. How do you know how good the other guys are? So you can't take anything for granted. You go out and you play them like they, you know, we used to just tell them, just hate them all the same. You know what I mean? Don't. They're no big games. Just play them all the same and go out there and respect them. Know that they're going to put athletes. Grove City's going to put athletes on the field. Maybe not as many as Sciota, but they're going to put athletes out there, and they want to win.
But even as successful as you were and your teams were, I'm sure they didn't listen to you all the time.
They didn't listen to me hardly ever. That's why we won games. They hardly ever listened to me. They were smart enough to know better.
Guys, this one just came in. Pickerington Central has knocked off Massillon Washington tonight by a score of 26-7. A battle of two teams that both were in state championships last year in Division One and Divisions Two, respectively. There, the Pickerington Central Tigers come out on top in that one.
Well, that's the first time Pickerington Central's played in Paul Brown Tiger Stadium since 2006 when, Brandon Sane and Piqua ran all over them in the state championship, Division II.
Brandon Sane, man, that's
memories.
A name from the past.
Bringing back
ain't it?
Bad memories. Look at you.
In the Tennyson Varney Bowl tonight, Hamilton Township knocks off Franklin Heights 21-0. Westerville Central doubles up Westerville North 14-7. Lee, a lot of people said this one was the game of the week, and it seems like it was a pretty good one. Westerville South, even without Peter Pedrazzo, they roll tonight. They beat Olentangy 29-17.
Yeah, they got a good game from Ethan Hanna. 15 carries, 130 yards. And a touchdown. So, you know, I mean, they were, you know, everybody knows about Caden Saunders and all those wide receivers, but every once in a while you're going to need that running attack.
Oh, that's absolutely right. And Olentangy, they're another one of those teams. Between week one and week two, I promise you they'll get it fixed, and they're a good football team. They are a good football team.
All those Olentangy teams probably are going to make the playoffs.
Yep.
And
they'll have to play each other.
Yeah. And what, three of them lost tonight?
Yep. Three of the four lost.
Yeah, they'll be back.
Lee, I've heard, I don't know if you've heard anything different, I've heard Dublin Jerome has won tonight, but I have not seen a final score on that one, so I'll attempt to get that here in our next break at least. But I've heard that Dublin Jerome is victorious in Coach Glass's debut at the school.
Yeah, it's kind of odd. You know, you got Coach Glass, Kaufman's got a new coach in Garrett Stokes, and then you've got Carl Johnson, so it's in his 22nd year.
Been there forever.
Hilliard Darby, 17-0. They beat Olentangy Orange. Steubenville, we talked about them. They beat Olentangy Liberty by a score of 22-7. Mason knocks off Gahanna, 15-7 tonight. New Albany, 50-7 winners over Watkins Memorial. Granville beats Whitehall, 51-20. Heath, they knock off Liberty Union tonight by a score of 20-13. Taze Valley gets by Chillicothe, 28-17, the final in that one. Worthington Christian starts off the year victorious. They beat Southeastern 21-14. Licking Heights 42, Johnstown 14. Bloom Carroll beat Highland tonight by a score of 49-17. And then Newark Catholic victorious over Reedy 34-8, the final in that one. The Green Waves head coach Ryan Aiello joins us now on the AM 820 Scoreboard Show. Coach, congratulations on the big win over Reedy tonight. Of course, you're a former assistant over at Reedy. How nice was it for you to get the win against the Silver Knights this evening?
Yeah, no, thanks, guys, for having me on here. But very proud of our kids. Obviously, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Bishop Reedy administration, that school, and what they do. So, but, yeah, very happy for our kids and how they performed this evening.
Coach, I haven't got to talk to you this year much since we're not doing our preview show this year. Tell me a little bit about your team. I usually know a lot more about you guys at this point in the year. Tell me a little bit about this Green Wave squad.
Yeah, I tell you, we've got a lot of kids on the skill positions coming back, quarterback. We've got a running back that came out this past year. He's done a tremendous job, did very well this evening to carry us in a rushing attack. We got a lot of receivers on the perimeter coming back, secondary, linebackers, and we were in a very good position as far as depth in those areas. You know, the big questions that we had going into, this year was really up front. We lost some very talented young men last year that carried us into a state semi-final appearance there, and losing those guys hurt us. And we knew we had to have a lot of guys, a lot of question marks up there, but a lot of guys to compete and step up. And they showed that they're making in those areas to really solidify themselves and what we need in order for us to be successful moving forward.
Well, now, Coach, we've talked about it with a couple other coaches. What's the big thing you need to work on between weeks one and two? I mean, Coach Wolf has said it several times. It's the most important week of practice this season.
You know, we started off this game about as bad as we could. You know, we came out through an interception for a touchdown, had a couple penalties there, gave up a two-point play. Those are the things, just that attention to detail. I know that's a very kind of common thing, but it's just so important in the game of football, making sure that we start off on the right foot, get that momentum, and make sure then we sustain it from there. Don't get me wrong, our leadership really showed tonight, because of that start and how we were able to handle and overcome, that tough situation there. So very proud of our kids, but, we just got to really lock in on the attention to detail and make sure we're doing the small things correctly.
Ryan, we've been talking to all the coaches. This is Coach Wolf talking, by the way. We've been talking to all the coaches tonight about just the fact of getting back out on a normal Friday night.
Yes.
I mean, how nice is that just to go out there and know you're going to have a game?
Not having to wear a mask was the greatest thing in the world. Oh, man.
Well, some of us look better with a mask on, though.
Wait, right, just this evening here, but not having to wear that and worry about kids on cones and spacing and, just to have a normal atmosphere. Our community came out ready to go this evening, so it's great to have everybody. It's just to have Friday night football in the state of Ohio. It just doesn't get any better.
It does not.
Coach, who performed particularly well for you tonight? What did you like from your team this evening against the Silver Knights?
Yeah, our quarterback, our senior quarterback, Cole Canner, he did a tremendous job for us. Both throwing, his execution, his decision-making, his ability to run the football. Did a great job. We got a young man, Junior Mason, Mason Hackett, the young man I mentioned earlier in this show here, just did a tremendous job of running the football. He's a spark plug. He really is. He's got some ability that we haven't seen before. And to compliment it with the job our O-line is doing, very proud of him. Wide receivers, Tanner Elwell, Brandon Buchanan did a great job. And then really our whole defense, against the rushing attack that Bishop Reedy brings, the size, the physicality, the strength that they bring, couldn't have been more proud of our 11 guys on the defensive side of the football.
Coach, you mentioned Cole. He's played a lot of football, starting some football at quarterback mm-hmm. his freshman year at Reedy, and then obviously playing for you guys the last couple of years. How big is that, having that experience under center, especially early on in the season?
Oh, it's huge, and it really showed, in this evening's game. And he threw it. He made a bad decision, right, to start off the game. It was the second play of the game, threw a hitch route for a touchdown. And you could tell just his senior leadership, his ability to maintain his composure, that next drive that came out and sustained itself and made some great decisions the rest of the game. So to have that experience and that composure, that's tough for a younger kid to have. And his senior ability showed this evening. Very proud of him.
Well, Coach, what's the most important thing you have to do now? Because I know tomorrow morning in film session, it's not going to be 34-8. It's going to look a lot worse. I mean, that's just the way it is. So what do you think tonight going in that you have to fix or make better? And then tomorrow, will you be surprised at the film?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. You always are surprised, right? And I think in both directions, I think there's some things that we did a lot better than what I expected, and obviously on the other end, things that we did terribly bad. You know, I know up front a big part of it is how we are getting situated. You know, Bishop Reedy threw a lot at you from a front standpoint, tackle over type formations. They gave you a little bit of an unbalanced look with some of those situations there. So we just got to get, you know, the communication down. Once we can get that communication down and allow our kids to play fast from the defensive side, we'll be all right. And I think from an offensive standpoint, it's just, hey, making sure we are accountable for our responsibilities. And again, as I mentioned earlier, just doing the little things right, you know, making sure we're stepping with the proper foot. You know, we had a couple penalties that are just unacceptable on the offensive side of the ball. Those things can't happen. You know, we've got to clean those things up and be more disciplined.
Well, Coach, it's good to have those things to talk about after a win for sure, especially mm-hmm. a big one to open the season. Congratulations on the win over Reedy tonight, Coach. It was great to talk to you. Hope to do it again soon.
Yeah, sounds great, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
He's the head coach of Newark Catholic, Ryan Aiello, 34-8.
You know, I used to like Ryan. You know, I mean, when he was at Reedy, I really liked him a lot. But now he's Newark Catholic. He's gone to the dark side. What can I say?
I know we talked about this before, and he is a great guy. But why doesn't this game happen every year?
I don't know. It should happen every. I mean, it's just one of those great traditional games that should happen. It's two small schools with good, solid football programs. Year in, year out. Year in, year out. And it's a fun game. Newark Catholic probably doesn't need the game as much as Reedy does because Newark Catholic has that league and, you know, they've got other, you know, opponents that they can play, whereas Reedy doesn't have a league. I mean, they've got Hartley. That's it. And then after that, you have to go scrounging for games. So, you know, it's probably more important for Reedy to play the game.
It just makes too much sense. Even though Reedy now, you know, they a de facto member of the Mid-State
right.
League and play that schedule, even
schedule
though it's
for
not
them, yeah.
for a title
correct.
Or anything. But it just seems to make too much sense that those two take on each other every year. Guys, we just had three games go final. Tell them to you here real quick before we go to break. Upper Arlington comes back, Lee, and they beat Reynoldsburg by a score of 42-41. I know you've got some stats on that game we'll get into here next as well. Harvest Prep, big winners tonight. They knock off Eastmore 60-34, the final in that one. And how about this one, guys? Thornville Sheridan scores 22 unanswered, comes from behind, and they beat Licking Valley in another huge matchup, 35-30. We'll talk about some more of these games, get to some more scores as they come in coming up next. But when we return, it'll be the head coach of Olentangy Berlin, Mark Norrie, after his team gets a big win, 17-12, over DeSales tonight. That's next on the AM 820 Scoreboard Show.
How do we make our customers happy? We give them peace of mind. With Able Roof, you don't just get a new roof, you get an entire roof crew. The leadership of a foreman, the experience of professional roofers, the quality of an objective inspection, and a great customer service team. The Able Roof team is proud to serve the Columbus area and bring along 40 years of expertise. AbleRoof.com.
Call Able for the proof. 444.
Academics, community, character, faith. For nearly a century, St. Charles has welcomed young men for an exceptional high school experience. Boasting a college preparatory curriculum, modern facilities, robust athletics and extracurriculars, and powerful student mentoring programs, more than 50% of our students receive financial aid, 100% are accepted to college. You're invited to help kick off our home football season at the Cardinal Kickoff Tailgate on September 10th. Join us at 5 p.m. for food, fun, and fellowship before the Cardinals take on Youngstown Cheney at Walt Plank Field. To learn more about St. Charles, visit stcharlesprep.org.
Welcome back. AM 820 Scoreboard Show presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Abel Roof. I'm Ryan Baker. He is the guru, Lee Cochran. And, of course, for the second year in a row, our head coach, Larry Wolf, trying to keep us under control here a little bit.
Doing the best I can.
Some big games, big matchups here in the first week of the high school football season. Man, are we glad that high school football is back. And one of those games tonight that was one of the big ones, a really big matchup and an intriguing one. Olentangy Berlin beats DeSales by a score of 17-12. Their head coach, Mark Norrie, joins us now on the Scoreboard Show. Coach, congratulations on the big win tonight. How tough was that playing an opponent like DeSales in week number one?
Well, I appreciate you having me on, and thanks for the congratulations. I'll tell you what, you know, we were supposed to play them last year, and we didn't because of COVID and the shortened season. And, I mean, you guys know how it is with head coaches and scrimmage games. They're about as vanilla as they come. So it took us a little bit. Both teams, I think, were kind of, you know, circling around each other, sort of like rabid dogs, trying to wait to see who's going to attack first and what the other team was all about. So, but obviously they're a very talented team. They came off a, you know, a runner-up for the state title game in which I believe they were ahead, and it took them to two overtimes before they lost it. But, you know, it's an experienced team. It's a well-coached team. They know how to win. We're in our fourth year of our existence, so we're just learning how to do those things. So it was a big win for our program and our kids.
Well, now, Coach, you mentioned that, you know, you're only in your fourth program, but you had an off season, probably, you know, that you're not used to at Olentangy Berlin. I mean, you lose 21 seniors. These are guys that have been in the program to help that program grow for three seasons. Were you, you know, especially on the offense, or, you know, you lost your quarterback, you lost several good linemen. Were you a little bit surprised the way you played? You came out and played?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it, with that also goes the inexperience that you're referring to. So, you know, them getting used to varsity football a little bit. I mean, they play sparingly here and there over the last couple of years, but nothing like a starter where they, you know, you have to put it on their shoulders to win it. So, yeah, I think they did a good job. I mean, I haven't watched the tape, but, you know, we haven't. The nice thing about what we're doing and what our offensive coordinator, Nick McVay, has done is he's kept our same offense with the same calls. We just look a little different, you know. Jacob Muller threw for 2,800 yards last year. You know, we don't have that arm this year, so we have to look a little bit different and do some things differently to move the football. So it's nice that the kids understand that, and you know, we didn't really change the system or the calls. We're just sort of changing how we're running it.
But I guess on the defensive sides where you got that experience, I mean, I think you had, what, 9 starters come back? So do you go in thinking we're going to rely on our defense and let our offense grow?
You know, you would think, but with 15, 16, and 17-year-olds, you don't know. So I will say this, the experience that those guys last year, we were very, very young on defense last year. We played a lot of sophomores, and most of those kids started again tonight. So you look at that 9-game season, and it just screams experience. And then, you know, as a head coach, and Jeremy Arndt does a great job with our defense. He's our defensive coordinator. You know, it's just how much growth did they have last year from playing in that 9-game season. You know, we saw a really good team against Marysville. They kicked us up and down the field, you know, they got an Ohio State commit, and those were sophomores that we were playing with. So they got, you know, christened early. And so that's the piece now that we're trying to see is how much growth did they get from going through those experiences.
Well, Coach Norrie, I had a chance to watch the game. I'm streaming it here on the computer, and it looked like in the third quarter your team – took control of the game, even though the score doesn't indicate it. I mean, it looked like in the first half, DeSales had chances to kick field goals and maybe take a lead. But in the third quarter, your offensive line started to come off the ball, and your defense pinned the DeSales, you know, offense down in a hole. If it hadn't been for a big turnover in the third quarter, as you guys are really, really putting the pedal down, I think the game might have gotten out of hand a little bit. But your kids hung in there and won the game anyhow. Talk us through that fourth quarter, what you're thinking when you had a chance to maybe put the game on ice and you didn't quite get it done and you got an inexperienced team out there.
Yeah, I think that's what you saw. I mean, you said it best. I think it's the inexperience that we have. We talk about there are no little things, right? So we got the ball inside the 23 times tonight, came away with no points, and turned the ball over twice. Can't do that. One was a touchback, which brought them out of bad field position. We have 53 seconds left in the game, and our tailback decides to go out of bounds when they only have one timeout left. We should have been punting with about 14 seconds left instead of 53 on the clock. So those are really good teachable moments for our kids. We're lucky that, you know, we escaped with a win against, you know, a very solid opponent. But again, like you pointed out, that's the inexperience. I think, you know, when I worked in the college ranks, we did a research thing, and I think 77% of the time that you win the turnover battle, you win the game. Well, I think we lost it tonight. So that's 23% of the teams only win when they lose the turnover battle. So we're very, very fortunate. But on the flip side, you know, it speaks to the persistence of our kids. It speaks to their resiliency and the way they can play together and finish the team off. Hopefully we continue it together.
Well, and you know, you were playing a DeSales team that you really have to put them out of their misery. They will not go quietly into the night. They're going to scrap and fight for everything. And it went right down to the end where they had a chance to kick an onside kick. You know what I mean? They're that kind of team, and you have to put them away.
No question. And they have that experience. They have that tradition. They have all that. They know how to do it. Yep. They've been in tight games and. You know, they're really good players. I mean, there's no question. All of that stuff comes into play at that point in time. And so, you know, if I had told you that we didn't play a perfect game tonight and still won, there's no way. I mean, I would say there's no way. But like I said, I think the resiliency of our senior leadership and the way those guys were able to pull through it in the fourth quarter really speaks volumes for how they're playing.
Well, Coach, when someone like Jonathan Thompson, you know, suffers that injury, he's the best defensive player, you know, he's district player of the year on defense, he's going to be their top running back. You know, how do you address that with the team? You know, do you say, hey, they lost a great guy, but it's still DeSales?
Absolutely, yes. And, you know, we hope for a full recovery for him, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, we went about this as, you know, the sales next guy up is still pretty darn good. So we have to prepare.
They
for
have
them.
Been they, for a long
the
time.
Guy was playing. So, yep. Yeah, they got depth. They're deep. They, you know, they doesn't matter. They're young. I think they started a freshman in his position tonight. And he's a solid looking player. Like, I mean, goodness gracious, they got him for three more years. And I'm going, my God, like, he's a freshman. Like, he looks pretty good. I mean, you know, and he played. It seemed like he played a nice game. So, yeah, I mean, like you said, they just have that type of program that you know. They're not going to lose much with their two deep. And so when they have to sub a person in or somebody gets hurt, you know, there's not going to be much of a drop off.
Coach, you guys aren't the new kids on the block anymore. You've had a pretty
honeymoon over.
had a pretty good year last year. Now you start the year off with a big win over a good team like DeSales. How do you keep this thing rolling and moving forward and not letting your kids be happy with where they are now?
Yeah, you know, we talk a lot about just playing one day at a time, you know, and one game at a time and one play at a time. And keeping that focus sort of just centered on the here and now. And, you know, we're not going to look too far ahead. We have a very tough schedule. In my opinion, we have a very tough schedule. So it's just going to take day by day. It's a grind for us, you know. As you noted before, we play guys on both sides of the ball. And, you know, so we have to be in condition. But at the same time, you know, we have to get our work done, but we can't kill them at practice either. So there's that balance there. You know, and just keep our eyes on the prize and just keep them focused. And when I used to play for Coach Coughlin, he used to say, put the blinders on. Don't look at anything outside the scope of what we need to do. And that's kind of how we prepare here.
Well, I guess if you're trying to keep them focused, all you got to do is say you're playing on TNG Orange next week.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, with the redistrict and, the way that the neighborhoods work around here, there's a lot of our guys that are close to a lot of their guys. So, you know, that's a fun thing for kids. You know, that's something they're going to remember always growing up and those types of things and in the community. And I'm sure it'll be a packed house and all that kind of stuff. So it'll be fun for them. And, but I think ultimately both teams would like to come away with a W. So we'll prepare as such.
Well, Coach, congratulations on kicking the season off the right way with the big win over DeSales. Congratulations to you and your team and good luck next week against Orange.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
He's the head coach of Olentangy Berlin, Mark Norrie. 17-12, they knock off DeSales tonight. Larry, you mentioned it there. We were in here. You said it was in the third quarter. You said they're taking over. This game might be over. It wasn't over because DeSales fought hard and stayed right there, but they were able to gut out the win.
Well, I expect DeSales to do that. What I didn't expect was for Olentangy. I mean, they were dominating the line of scrimmage. And they put the ball on the carpet, and DeSales recovered it. It's exactly what a good DeSales team does. They find a way to put themselves in position to win. Even if they don't, they're in position to win. And then what do? They drive the ball in the fourth quarter, score a touchdown. Now, you think about the field goals they missed. I think they missed three field goals tonight. Two of them were, by modern standards, chip shots, you know, 25 yards or so. They're not long field goals. And they missed an extra point. Well, that's 7 points. And then they had a 35-yard field goal that was short. So, okay, that's a medium-sized field goal these days because DeSales historically has had kickers that can kick them 45 yards. You know, they're like Hartley. They always find a kicker somewhere. So you would think that DeSales, with the kicking game woes that they had, if they fix that part of it alone and they get their guys back, they're going to be just fine.
I just didn't think it was a question that a DeSales team would ever just roll up. I mean, I moved here in 1993. First fall, I was here in 1993. They told me, you got to go see Watterson DeSales play. And I would say the next time a Watterson team rolls over and quits since 1993 would be the first time since I've been here. Well, I don't see that happening
and
ever.
I don't think it would ever happen ever, especially with the coaching staff they've assembled this year.
So you knew they were going to make a run. Yeah. It's almost like watching a basketball game that, you know, at some point they're going to make a run at them. You just know it. And Coach Norrie knew it.
And they may not ever made the run, but they just stayed right there. They wouldn't let them pull away.
They're never going to be out of a game. They're going to fight you and bite you and kick you. And even if
they're getting beat 21, they're still doing the same thing.
Doesn't matter. They're going to be DeSales.
A couple of the perennial powers in Central Ohio, when you think Central Ohio football, got scores for them when we were talking to Coach Norrie. Hilliard Davidson gets 4 touchdowns from Johnny Weir tonight. They knock off Brecksville Broadview Heights 27-24. And Dublin Kaufman falls in Coach Garen Stokes' debut with the team. They lose to Warsaw, Indiana, 48-23 tonight. So one of them victorious, one of them not here tonight.
Yeah, it's Warsaw. That's the first time they've played a team from Ohio.
Really?
Yeah, and they run an offense. I just giggled when I saw this. It's kind of a version of the flex bone, and their coach is Bart Curtis. It's called the Bart Bone.
Right. Well, there you have it.
Must be doing something right.
He's a Hall of Fame coach, so I guess you can name the offense after yourself if you want.
Well, we're not in the family hour, so you can call it whatever you want to call it.
Must be doing something right if you're knocking off Dublin Kaufman. Guys, I couldn't imagine how hard it would be to have a rivalry game in your first game of the season, but that's exactly what happened for Westerville Central tonight as they knock off Westerville North by a score of 14-7. Their head coach, Brent Morrison, joining us now on the Scoreboard Show. And Coach Morrison, just how tough was that playing one of your crosstown rivals in game number one?
Indescribable. It was a heck of an environment tonight. Crazy time for us, and the thing that, you know, probably surprised us the most is how well our kids handled it. We lost 21 starters from last year. We lost 35 seniors, and, you know, we looked around the locker room today and we're like, none of you have ever really played in this game before. I mean, you've watched it from the sideline or from the stands, but not only one of you has ever actually stepped on the field in a game like this. And he was a sophomore because we didn't even play it last year. So we were a little nervous about how our guys were going to handle it. And they went out there and they were as poised as can be. And, we changed some things and we tried to eat some clock and just minimize, opportunities for Westerville North. And our defense stepped up huge, created some turnovers. And I mean, it was just couldn't ask for a better job out of a group of kids that, essentially, we're like an expansion team.
Coach, how do you – you said that, and that's the first thing I had circled in my notes. 21 starters. I don't know that I've ever heard of a team losing 21 starters. We just talked to Coach Norrie. Berlin lost 21 seniors. You lose 21 starters. I mean, how do you get them acclimated? Do you practice under the lights to try to give them that sense of being under the lights? What kind of things can you do to prepare them for tonight?
You know, we kind of laugh. We kind of take the Hoosiers approach. You know, you've seen that movie where guys are, you know, measuring the basket and, hey, it's just like practice. And, you know, that's what we've told them this whole time. We're like, there is going to be so much hype. You're going to have so much adrenaline. It's going to get crazy. And you know, what you got to do is just focus on this play, your responsibility, and you got to find the small game within the game and play that small game and win it more times than you lose it. And if we do that across the board, we'll come out with a win. And, you know, try to kind of take their eyes off that big picture, because, you know, when you look at the big picture, the crosstown rivalry and all that type of stuff, I mean, it can be very daunting to a kid that's never played varsity football. And, you know, our kids just did a great job of being hyper-focused, and coaches did a good job of making sure we game plan in a way that, you know, our kids knew their keys and they were playing fast. And, you know, we just went out there and did the best we could.
Well, you know, Brent, you graduated 35 seniors, and I have a question. Does anybody on your team shave? I mean, they've got to be a bunch of young bucks out there. And the second part of this is, when I used to coach, we used to talk a lot about eye control. Just see what you're supposed to see, because they get out there and they're young. They're like deer in headlights, and they see everything. I mean, they see the guy buying popcorn at the concession stand, you know, because it's their first Friday night. I mean, how do you do that with so many young kids?
Yeah, you know, the whole eye control thing, it's kind of interesting, because, you know, I was just hoping they wouldn't look up and see how big the crowd is. And I'm kind of glad we play at Westville North, because, you know, they have a big track and they have a lot of space between. I'm kind of glad we didn't open up at home, because, you know, next week we play South at home. You know, we're back-to-back crosstown rivals. I mean, at our stadium, the fans are right on top of you. I mean, it's like 7 yards away from us, and it's crazy, and it's so much more hectic of an environment. And, I mean, I love our student section. I love what they do, but it's tough to play in there, especially when, you know, you don't have that experience. And, you know, it was a great way for us to start the season, and I think our guys will do even better next week with it, just kind of handling those nerves and those jitters. And, you know, it's kind of funny. I think we set the world record for cramps tonight, because our kids, I mean, their adrenaline was just pumping so hard. We couldn't get enough fluids in them. And, you know, but we managed to, you know, finish the game the way we needed to.
It's a good win. Anytime you beat the neighborhood kids, it's a good win. So,
well, and doing it with such a young team, I mean, that's just got to have you so fired up, Coach. You said a couple times the kids got experience, but they got experience and they won a big game.
Yeah, and we've you know, I've been here not as the head coach, but I've been an assistant here since 2005, and since that time we have never even dressed a freshman. It's just not something we've ever done. We started 3 freshmen tonight.
Wow. Which begs the question, does anybody shave?
They were playing middle school ball, you know, 12 months ago, and now they're stepping out on the field getting their first win in, you know, the Rule of the Ville game. So we're really excited for the future, and, you know, think we have some bright times ahead of us.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the big win tonight. That is for sure a great way to start with all those young kids on the squad, which only hopefully means great things coming for Westerville Central like the past couple years. Coach, congratulations on the win, and we look forward to talking to you later on throughout the year.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Head Coach Brent Morrison of the Westerville Central Warhawks, 14-7. They knock off Westerville North tonight.
I got to look at the stats from this game. You know how balanced this was? Central had 227 yards of total offense, North 234. Central ran 61 plays, North ran 62. Both teams had 14 first downs. I'm a stats freak, so I mean, just kind of
that's just about the way it should go, huh?
For a rivalry game,
14-7.
Yeah, you know, for a program that has as established as Westville Central is, that is an amazing stat. That might be the best stat of the night, though. He started 3 freshmen, and they'd never dressed a freshman varsity since 2005.
That's why I asked the question, does anybody shave? Because you're going to lose a game for every freshman you got on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an old adage, but the reality is they won tonight.
So I was going to say, hell, Larry, I'm 56. I shave, once a week.
Yeah.
So
whether you need it or not. Yeah.
Lee, before we go to break here, our final break, you were talking about stats. Here's another stat. I'm sure you saw some of this, but Carson Grisak for Upper Arlington tonight sets a UA single-game record rushing for 384 yards. That surpassed passes the record by Jeff Backus of 359. And Mr. Backus was a pretty good football player and went on to have a nice college career. What a game from Carson Grisak
and
tonight.
And now it's Dr. Backus.
Yeah.
He's an orthopedist.
But, I mean, that's pretty good when you can set the Upper Arlington single rushing game record with the history there at that school.
Yeah, they've had a few good running backs in their day.
Yeah. I mean, remember, you know, Jesse Klein was a good running back there.
Yeah, don't remind me.
Yeah, I figured you might remember. Yeah. But that was, well, yeah, you go back to the Backus year and the defensive end, Simon.
Yep.
Simon Frazier.
Yep. You know, that was the year, though, put Central Ohio really on the map. I mean, Central
2000.
Ohio. 2000. Yep, 2000, and they beat Solon. And, you know, that Central Ohio was just considered the state semifinal.
Yeah.
And that really changed it. Yeah. And, you know, the success has just kept rolling since.
Guys, we're going to go ahead and take our final break of the evening tonight. When we come back, though, we'll run through all of the scores. We'll also talk to Carl Johnson, his team victorious tonight. Dublin Scioto, 29-27, winners over Grove City. We'll talk to him next on the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roofing.
Oakland Nursery wants to encourage you to live a life of gratitude. Whatever challenge you face today, count your blessings and praise God in all circumstances, even circumstances that seem unfair and difficult. Oakland Nursery is conveniently located in Columbus, Delaware, New Albany, and Dublin, or you can shop online at oaklandnursery.com. oaklandnursery.com.
Working as part of a team is strong. Working with a team of more than 1 million soldiers is Army Strong. Join the U.S. Army and train in one of more than 150 career fields. That's more options than any other military branch. Visit your local Army recruiter or log on to GoArmy.com for more. There is Strong, and then there's Army Strong. Paid for by the United States Army.
If you are exploring your college options, make sure Walsh University is on your list. As a premier Catholic university with nearly 100 programs, NCAA Division II athletics, and students from 34 countries, Walsh wants to make affording a college degree possible for all students. Our scholarship packages and financial aid opportunities are designed to meet that promise. Call Walsh University today to discuss your scholarship package or visit us online at walsh.edu/yourfuture.
Final segment, week one, the AM 820 Scoreboard Show. Ryan Baker here with you, along with the guru from this week's sports, Lee Cochran, and longtime Reedy head coach, Larry Wolf. Big matchups in week one, and some exciting games, too, coming down to the wire. We've talked a lot about that Upper Arlington and Reynoldsburg game, and the game that Carson Grisak had in that one. Just big matchups all the way around. Lee, this is our seventh year doing this. It seems like to me there's a lot more more than we've seen before, big games in week one than years past.
Yeah, and that's probably true. You know, without looking back, you just get that feel. I agree. And, you know, you and I have talked about it earlier. And, you know, I think a lot of it is that, you know, the teams are, you know, some of these coaches want to challenge their kids. You know, I mean, but you can't even say that they know that there was going to be an expanded playoffs. I guess they knew that it was going to go to 12, but nobody knew about it. But it just, I think the coaches have the mindset that, you know, Jay Scherer talked to us about it last year. He said, if we wanted to be among the best in the state, he goes, we had to leave Central Ohio. They've done it. Olentangy Liberty's done it. Dublin Kaufman's doing it. More and more teams are doing it. You've got that opportunity, and you can, you know, and, you know, so everything's a trend, it seems. And you see Pickerington Central win a couple state titles by doing that. Then Olentangy's making runs to state semifinals all the time.
Davidson,
by doing it.
Davidson
did it.
Yep.
You know, you look at, you know, that's just life for Hartley and DeSales and Watterson. I mean, when you were reading, yep. You know, you play anybody anywhere. But it's the schools that, you know, Pickerington Central could schedule schools around here. but they choose to get a schedule that is, you know, border, you know, I don't want to say, you know, you don't say crazy, but it's damn impressive. I mean, they're going to play, they played Maslin tonight. They got, Cincinnati Elder next week. Then they've got North Allegheny, Pennsylvania. And then why not play Pickerington North? That's your first four games of the year.
That's a cakewalk. That's a cakewalk.
Well, I
mean, they got the Browns scheduled game five.
So. Yeah, Coach Birchfield said that to us all several times. He goes, "I could make a schedule where we go 10-0, but we don't want to be 10-0. We want to be playing week 15."
That's right.
And that we've talked about that. That works for some teams, and we see some teams that may not do that. And that's maybe why their programs aren't where they used to be or whatnot. But the teams, we say it every year, that go out and play people seem to be the teams that we talk about every year, especially weeks 10 and beyond. We talked about the good games in week number one. One of those, an exciting game, was Dublin-Scioto. They hold off Grove City, win 29-27 tonight. Their head coach, Carl Johnson, joins us now on the Scoreboard Show. And, Coach, nothing like having a nail-biter to start the year. How you doing after that one?
Well, probably like everybody else, just we're trying to survive through the humidity in the first week. That's a week earlier. I mean, there's a lot of things that played into everybody struggling to get through those games tonight. So it was a tough, hard-fought game. Grove City played a great game, and they had a chance to tie it late in the fourth quarter, and didn't get the two-point conversion, so they had to get a stop. And, you know, our kids put together a great drive, and we were able to run out the last 5.5 minutes of the clock. So I was awful proud of the way our kids played, just fought and persevered through a week. I mean, this is preseason last year, so getting through this humidity and working on getting into games, there was a lot of things that had to happen tonight.
Coach, we were talking about your team earlier. You've got your quarterback back, your leading rusher returning, and I believe your leading receiver from last year. How big was that in a game like this, a close game week one, to have those guys?
Well, it's always great to have returners back. And, you know, I think really the key was we had some guys step up. Leslie Ando and Tyson Bowes made some huge catches. But we had great pass protection, and, you know, our returning running back left early in the first half, and we had to have a sophomore running back step in and take a bunch of the load. And, you know, kids had to warrior through this humidity that we had this past week, and, you know, it was a brutal first game working to get through that. It took a lot of kids just fighting to get through and willing to step in, and all sorts of kids had to jump in and play spots that maybe they hadn't played a whole bunch of earlier.
Coach, is there any, I mean, this seems to happen every year. You know, we get a little bit of a cool patch, and it's great when I'm out walking the dogs, but I've talked to coaches that say they kind of cringe because they know that opening week it's going to get hot again and cramping up. Does that change your planning for the game? Do you go in expecting to have to play more guys than maybe you would normally?
No, I think we had a pretty good game plan, and you know, we try to get the kids hydrated, and, you know, school starts so early now, and we tried to go real short yesterday outside to try to, you know, let them keep their fluid. And, you know, there's just nothing you can – that first week is going to be the first week, and it's going to be a bear getting through that four quarters when you had two scrimmages and you're playing week one a week early. You know, this is – you know, you're just going to have to work through it.
Carl, this is Larry Wolf. I've been asking all the coaches pretty much the same question about how nice is it just to get back to some semblance of normal.
Fantastic. I mean, our student section was phenomenal. The crowd was great. You know, Grove City dedicated their new facilities tonight, Leisure Stadium, just a great environment. And it was a heck of a high school football game. We just were the fortunate ones that came out with the victory.
Well, that is one of the great high school settings for football. There's no doubt. I mean, the crowd's right on top of you, so you don't just hear them, you feel them. I mean, they're literally right on your back.
100%.
Coach, with a big game like that, comes down to the wire in week number one. How can that help you moving forward?
Well, hey, you're either going to be 1-0 or 0-1 after week one. And, you know, the nice thing with the playoffs is it's not as critical. And the reality is you just want to get better week two. You know, whether you won or lost, it's really how did you guys stick together? You know, and I was proud of the way our kids stuck together. And then are you going to go into week two to get better? And if we do those, you know, we stuck together, which I wanted to see, and then, you know, are we going to work to get better week two?
Well, Coach, you've been around quite a while. Does the playoffs go into 16? Does that change your approach any?
Well, I think you definitely want to make sure, you know, you want to make sure your kids are going to be ready to roll when November gets here. You want to be playing great football in October. So, you know, being in peak condition for week one game, it's never going to happen anyway. So we just want to keep improving and, you know, keep learning how to be physical and how to finish. And, you know, I thought we took a good couple steps towards that tonight. And as long as we commit to getting better, things will be fine.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the big week one victory. Good luck to you and the Irish moving forward.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate all your coverage.
Longtime Dublin Scioto coach Carl Johnson joining us on the Scoreboard Show. 29-27, his Fighting Irish knock off the Greyhounds tonight. Lee, a lot of people had it pegged as their game of the week for good reason, and Westerville South came out on top. They beat Olentangy tonight 29-17. Their head coach, Matt Chris, joining us now on the Scoreboard Show. Coach, big matchup for you guys in week one. How were you able to come out on top?
Appreciate you guys having me on. We are pretty opportunistic in the first half. We got a couple of scores late in the second quarter. Gave us a kind of a nice little cushion there. I wish we would have played a whole lot better in the second half, but that's week one of high school football.
Okay, Coach. I think you said in the preview that this is the first time you've really had a quarterback battle. I mean, you've had Peter there last year. You know, I mean, how different has that been for you, and how'd your quarterback play tonight?
Well, you know what? There's no replacing Peter Pedroso because he just had such a great feel and a lot of those characteristics that you don't really teach. This guy's had that kind of that it factor. So we knew certainly not going to be Pete. We're going to watch the film and evaluate and make improvements as we need to. No comment at the moment.
Okay. One thing that stuck out to me, you had Ethan Hanna. 15 carries, 130 yards, and a touchdown. You know, if you're a little uncertain of quarterback, it's nice to have good running backs, isn't it?
Yes. We really felt same last year. We ran the ball really well last year, and it kind of got lost with how effectively we were throwing the football. But we really felt good going into this year with our offensive line play. And we really have three running backs that we all think are very, very capable and explosive, and just trying to keep the guy in there that's fresh and protect the football and go make plays. So I thought we did a really nice job running the football tonight, and that certainly gave us a big advantage.
Well, Matt, you had a big win tonight over Olentangy, obviously, and they're a good football team. And now you've got Westerville Central coming down the tracks at you next week. It's nice to start off with two cupcakes like that. I mean, you got to love the scheduling there. What do you have to do starting tomorrow morning with films to make your team better for next week's game? Because the biggest improvement, as you know, is going to be between this week and next week. What do you have to do?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is, you know, just taking an honest eval of how we played tonight and address the issues that we had and get those fixed and keep the focus on ourselves. I thought we did some really good things defensively. I thought we ran to the ball, you know, and it's just hard to mimic a football game until you start playing full football games. So we had some cramping issues and, you know, guys were, you know, it's the fourth quarter and it's the first fourth quarter of the season. So I think we'll settle in and, you know, hopefully take better care of our bodies and learn what we can from tonight's film and get ready to hopefully play our best football game of the year next Friday.
Coach, we've asked a lot of the coaches this. We'll do the same with you. How nice was it to kind of have a more normal off season this year and be able to spend the time with your team, have them bond a little bit, and really work on things throughout the off season?
Yeah, having a normal summer was awesome. I mean, last year was so, you know, uncertain and really where you were chasing it down. So, I mean, more or less, we had all of our our offense and defense and special teams installed before we really hit, you know, the official first day. We started on August 2nd because I wasn't up for starting on a Sunday, but I thought we did a nice job taking advantage of that, and now it's just, you know, subtle little changes week to week, what defense are we prepping for, and so forth. So the summer I thought was very effective for us.
Well, Coach, obviously it worked pretty well for you as you get the big win tonight over a good Olin Tangi team. Coach, congratulations on the win, and we look forward to talking to you more this year.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having us on.
He's the head coach of Westerville South, Matthew Crist. His team victorious 29-17 tonight over Olin Tangi. Big game tonight, an exciting game. Upper Arlington knocks off Reynoldsburg. They come from behind. They get the win 42-41. Their head coach, Justin Buttermore, joins us now on the AM 820 Scoreboard Show. And, Coach, how exciting was it to start a season that way and get that big come-from-behind win tonight?
Well, it was unbelievable, really. After a year of no fans and just kind of craziness last year, for our kids to get the experience, not just a win, but the celebration that ensued with all their classmates and student section, it was just a great experience.
Well, Coach, these are the kind of games that you just love, don't you?
As a defensive guy at heart, not so much, but I like the outcome. I'll take the outcome, but it's not exactly how we drew it up.
Well, Ryan mentioned earlier, Carson Grisak, you know, he set a school record tonight. I mean, it's, you know, he rushed for 1,300 yards last year, and as Ryan kept giving us updates, I said, heck, he might get that tonight. I mean, that's just an incredible performance from him.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a bruiser, and he's a kid that gets better as the game wears on. He's big and tough and physical, and, you know, people, you know, early in the game, they may get him a couple times for short games, but I'll tell you, he just really wears on defenses as the game goes on. He's just so tough and just runs downhill.
Well, now, you mentioned, you know, that, you know, last year how, you know, uncertain it was. I mean, you didn't even really get a camp. Does this almost feel like the first off season, like it's all new?
It really does. My wife and I were talking about it and how this feels more like kind of the beginning of, you know, our time here at Upper Arlington. And that's not to say anything. I love my seniors. Last year was an unbelievable time with them. But we never really got to spend the time together and at practice or in the off season that you typically would. So this is the first real full off season. So it did feel a little bit different.
You get to start the season, Coach, with a 42-41 thriller, obviously, and your running back goes for 389 on 29 carries. I think that's correct. And you said he's a great running back. He's a bull. He's a pounder. I mean, he just gets better. You know, that probably says a lot about his off-season conditioning, because he's not really getting stronger. He's just getting better than the other guys because they're getting weaker, and he can just sustain it longer. Talk about his ability to do that and just stay in the game and keep pounding it.
Yeah, he's you know, he's built very powerfully. He's a hockey player too, so really strong upper body, but even stronger lower half. And like I said, he has tremendous amount of power and force that he puts into the ground when we're here sprinting in the off season or really anything that we do. And I'll tell you, you just see it. Like I said, he's powerful, and the other teams pay the price.
Well, no one rushes for almost 400 yards without having a great offensive line, do they, Coach?
Absolutely not, man. There's a lot of people that deserve credit. You know, the offensive staff did a great job. Obviously, the offensive line. Quarterback made some good decisions. And really, more than anything, just we were down three scores at one point. We were down 20 points. And so just having the belief as a team that we could come back and find a way to win against a really, really talented team was just – I was really proud of our effort.
Well, Coach, I'll tell you what. If Carson's a hockey player too, he's all right with all three of us.
You got that right.
That's for sure. Coach, congratulations on the huge win to start the season. Good luck to you and the Golden Bears moving forward.
I appreciate it, guys.
The head coach of Upper Arlington, Justin Buttermore, probably definitely the game of the week in week number one. They knock off Reynoldsburg 42-41.
Yeah, at least,
for sure.
At least the most exciting. But you remember when you said, you even said Reynoldsburg was up big, and we kind of looked at each other and said, this one's going to get close.
It did get close.
And you know, you just get that feel at times.
When you have the ability to run the football like Upper Arlington does, you can change the line of scrimmage. You can change the momentum of the game because the other team isn't going to get the ball back. They can't just keep scoring, you know. So, and that's what they did. They just pounded them.
Guys, let's go ahead and run through all of these scores one final time. We've got some more here as we've gone on through the night. Of course, last night it all got underway with Hartley traveling up to Youngstown. However, the Hawks lose to Ursuline 62-58, the final in that one. Big Walnut, 41-0 winners tonight over St. Charles. Olentangy Berlin, 17-12. They knock off DeSales tonight. Newark Catholic, a big 34-8 win over Reedy. Watterson loses to West Holmes on the road, 26-16. Central Crossing starts the year 1-0. They knock off Marion Franklin, 27-6. Canal Winchester behind Stephon Bird gets a big win, 25-3 over Groveport. Pickerington North, 23-10 winners over Lancaster tonight. Zanesville beats Newark, 41-0. Here's another one for you, Lee, in stats of the night. Zanesville outgained Newark by over 300 yards in the first half.
That's
rough.
Yeah. What do you say at halftime, Coach?
Let's get the game too. Billy Franks is sitting there going, I don't know what I'm doing here.
That's a rough night.
It's a rough night.
Rough night for Newark. Big win for Zanesville.
Send the band out there.
Yep.
Pickerington Central gets a huge win, 26-7 over Massillon, Washington. We just talked to Coach Buttermore, 42-41. Upper Arlington beats Reynoldsburg. Buckeye Valley gets by Delaware tonight by a score of 26-22. Dublin Scioto, 29. Grove City, 27. Hamilton Township shuts out Franklin Heights, 21-0, the score in that one. Westerville Central doubles up Westerville North tonight, 14-7. Westerville South, 29-17, winners over Olentangy. Worthington Kilbourne gets a shutout, 43-0 over Walnut Ridge. Dublin Jerome victorious, 28-10 over Perrysburg. Hilliard Darby gets that shutout, 17-0 over Olentangy Orange. Westland gets their first win of the season. They beat Thomas Worthington, 21-11, the final. Dublin Kaufman falls against Warsaw, Indiana, 48-23. Hilliard Bradley, another shutout. They win 41-0 over Northview. Hilliard Davidson behind Johnny Weir's four touchdowns knocks off Rexville, 27-24. Steubenville, 22. Olentangy Liberty, 7. Mason gets by Gahanna, 15-7. New Albany beats Watkins Memorial, 50-7. Beechcroft, 24-6 winners over Briggs. Grandview knocks off Centennial, 33-6, the final in that one. Afrocentric, they continue their momentum from last year. They beat Columbus East, 36-6. Lyndon McKinley knocks off West, 61-14. Independence, all over Northland, 54-6. Columbus South gets a big win, 61-6 over Cincinnati Woodward. Jalen Jennings scores 5 touchdowns, and Harvest Prep knocks off Eastmore, 60-34.
Harvest Prep had 2 scoring plays of more than 90 yards and 3 more of at least 50 yards.
Wow, and I think they
had a big place.
I think they had a pick six as well that went to the house,
so
too.
They have no explosion.
A lot of explosion on Milan Smith's team. Bexley falls to Washington Courthouse, 20-13. Granville gets by Whitehall, 51-20, the final in that one. Larry, I know you were asking about this one earlier. Amanda Clear Creek beats Jonathan Alder, 17-7. Circleville, 35. Huntington, nothing. New Lex gets by Fairfield Union, 13-6, the final in that one. Heath, 20-13 winners over Liberty Union. Logan Elm in overtime gets by Zane Trace, 28-27. Tays Valley, 28-17 winners over Chillicothe. Burn Union, Larry, beats a school that you know well. Dawson Bryant, 41-22, the final in that one. Worthington Christian, 21-14 winners over Southeastern. Rosecrans falls to Scioto-ville East, 22-20. Deuce Caldwell had 5 touchdowns for Licking Heights, and they beat Johnstown, 42-14. Sheridan knocks off Licking Valley, scoring 22 unanswered points, 35-30. West Muskingum, 37. Lakewood, 0. East Knox, 22-8 over Northridge. Centerburg, 40-14 winners over Utica. London falls to St. Mary's, 10-7. West Jeff all over Urbana, 48-3. Bloom Carroll, 49-17 winners over Highland. Miami Valley Christian beats Millersport, 38-6. Marion Harding, 28-27 winners over Mount Vernon. And Madison Plains beats Westfall, 40-12. Hard to believe, but week one, Larry and Lee is in the books. Lee, your final thoughts on week one of 2021?
Well, I think the one thing that kind of stuck out to me, all 3 Hilliard schools won. And it's been a while that you know, they all three, you know, struggled out of the gates. You know, Darby ended up finishing 4-4, and you know, Bradley posted a couple of playoff victories. I guess the other thing is, you know, it's some of the things that would appear to be surprising, like Dublin Scioto having a close game against Grove City. I'm now really curious to see about Grove City, to see how they come back for week two.
I think the thing that surprises me that all the Catholic League schools got beat, all the CCL schools got beat, which is a rarity. I mean, when was the last time Hartley, St. Charles, DeSales, Reedy, and Watterson all lost?
You just dumbfounded me. I didn't even realize that till just now.
I was born in the state of dumbfounded, so I know what that's all about.
That's good stuff.
And my Derby boys won, so that's a good thing.
Guys, yeah,
it
was a great week one for sure. I can't believe it's over already, but what a great week of opening.
We got great games next week.
I know, it's exciting. We're already looking forward
to
it. You know, that's going to be an
Cincinnati
awesome game.
Elder at Pickerington Central. Cincinnati Turpin. Dublin Kaufman.
Gosh, it's
Cleveland,
awesome.
Cleveland Glenville. Olentangy Liberty.
Let's just play them all.
Westville South, Westville Central. Goodness. Bradley and Darby. I mean, these are great games early in the season.
I'm already now I'm ready for week two already.
We'll
I
just
was kinda,
stay here. Let's
I was kind of sad week one was over. But, guys, don't forget, if you missed anything, check out our website, am820scoreboard.com. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at am820scoreboard. And don't forget to hit the Friday Night Live page over at thisweeksports.com. A big thanks to Abel Roofing as well for making this happen. For us, too. A big thanks and shout-out to all of our coaches who called in and got wins in week number one. Nate Hillerich of Pickerington North. John Santagata, the head coach at Hilliard Darby. Ryan Aiello of Newark Catholic. Mark Norrie, Olentangy Berlin's head man. Brett Morrison of Westerville Central. Carl Johnson, Dublin Scioto's longtime head coach. Matthew Chris, the head coach of Westerville South. And Justin Buttermore getting that big win over Upper Arlington. For our associate producer, Chris Higgins, doing a great job on
thanks,
the phones.
Chris.
And my co-host, the guru, Lee Cochran, and our head coach, Larry Wolf. I'm Ryan Baker saying one final time, and week number one, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.